I think interactive has become sort of a centerpiece of the marketing that we're doing. It's almost like a barometer of the marketplace.
This is podtech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hi, this is Jennifer Jones, and today on Marketing Voices, I have a gentleman with me by the name of Paul Dene. He's Director of Global Marketing for Bearing Point, and Bearing Point is one of the world's largest management and technology consulting firms. They compete with IBM and Accenture, and Paul has been doing a lot of social media for Bearing Point, and since we haven't really delved into any of the what I consider professional services firms and what they're doing in social media, I thought it would be great to have Paul on the show. So, Paul, with that introduction, welcome to Marketing Voices.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, what kind of things are you doing in social media at Bearing Point? What are you really implementing?
Right. So, we started about a year and a half ago with podcasting and then moved on to RSS and blogs and video, which came after that. And we feel like we've got these tools down pat now. I would say we've got them institutionalized, and we've been working with media partners to implement like rich resource centers that have these tools in them for what I would consider a stickiness factor, right? You know, integrated marketing is good, but what I like to say is integrated marketing, integrated and sticky is better. It's what I like to call sticky is the new black, right? So when we really start to take a look at some of these tools, stringing them together is nice, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you've got a community, right? What that means to me is that the wake-up call is out there for marketers that Web 1.0 days, 1.0 days of long-form content, publishing that content is gone. You know, Web 2.0 is much more rich and interactive content, and having an experience online, and that's what's really interesting about stringing these things together and trying to create communities.
So what tools exactly are you using to build these communities?
So we're kind of throwing the kitchen sink out of it, right? We've got the podcast series, we've got usually the centerpiece is some sort of blog, which has an RSS feed attached to that, and a video element to it as well. And there's also an offline element, which is kind of nice, which, you know, that's how we sort of started the early days of this community, is by having an offline event and then continuing the conversation online through the use of some of these more social media tools.
So give me an example of what the offline event is.
So the offline event is a quarterly event. It's there for networking purposes. It's there for us to provide thought leadership. It's not a PowerPoint-rich environment. It's a much more of an open, sharing, learning environment around a particular topic. So the group that gets together, you know, they have the exclusive people that are invited to this. They have, you know, they can recommend a friend to bring to this. So it has a viral nature to it. And they choose the topic. They set the agenda. You know, think user-generated content here. So they go, all right, we'd like to talk about the issues in data security. And, okay, Bearing Point's going to be with us because they're going to provide some data on data security and give us, you know, the trends within that. But we're also going to look outside and potentially bring in an expert to speak to us. And, you know, maybe that expert is from, you know, a client firm that is, you know, their chief privacy officer, or maybe it's someone that we hire and we bring in if it's, you know, like a regulator, if the topic is, you know, compliance or regulation, we can have a regulator come in and speak to them. And then we allow them to take this conversation back online and begin to play that out online as well.
Interesting. So what are you finding is working best, not just the work you're doing offline, but also of all the podcasts and everything you're doing? What's the best solution?
Well, frankly, all of the tools are great. The data we got back from doing things like pairing our thought leadership with a podcast was staggering, right? The standard piece of thought leadership just hanging out on your website with a registration page, the industry average for a download around something around that is one out of 10 people who stop by will give you their registration information. When we started to pair that with a podcast, we saw upwards of 3, maybe even as high as 5 in 10 people who would hit that landing page would also give us their registration information. And that's a pretty significant stat from a marketing perspective. Then you bolt on, you know, let's say search engine pay-per-click, and you bolt on RSS, and you bolt on a transcript of the podcast, and you've got a recipe that's going to create much higher download rates. So by stringing them together, it does have this nice effect, you know, for our business in particular.
So now, do you see that in terms of the people that are downloading are actually clients or their prospects or both, or and how do you test for that?
So we see both. Clearly, we see clients and prospects downloading, and we also see people who are in educational roles, who are in small to medium-sized businesses, who are in analyst firms. And we basically take a download of that information and scrub out people who are not necessarily on our top client list that we're looking to create a conversation with or to continue a conversation with and influence them down a particular path.
So how has this affected your marketing of Bearing Point?
Well, I think interactive has become sort of a centerpiece of the marketing that we're doing. It's almost like a barometer of the marketplace, if you will. So we can publish, and let's just take a quick diversion for a second. As a consultancy, you need to be publishing points of view, thought leadership. People don't buy run-of-the-mill consultants. They don't buy Joe Blow consultants. They buy the thought leader. So for us to position ourselves as a thought leader is an important piece, and therefore having a rich thought leadership environment where we're publishing a lot is great. So that's one step. Then putting it out in the media and putting it out interactively, we begin to get a sense of how appetizing is this topic to, you know, the media or to the our customer and prospect community. And you can really see marked differences between certain pieces of thought leadership and certain pieces of research when you do it this way. And then you know, as a gated investment, do you want to continue to invest in this particular topic? If it's not drawing, it's not pulling from a pull marketing perspective, then why would you push? There would be no need to push from a marketing perspective. So we use it almost as a barometer of the marketplace.
So do you have a large staff that actually works with you doing this, or is it pretty much within your jurisdiction and you do it alone?
No, we have a very virtual network within the Bearing Point environment that also includes some vendors to help us bring in certain innovations where we need them. But, you know, this is all basically contained within Bearing Point and the Bearing Point vendor network.
So what advice would you have for marketers that are listening to this and thinking about, okay, I work within Bain or I work within McKinsey and I'm just beginning to think about doing social media? What would be some pieces of advice you'd have for them?
I would have two pieces of advice. The first is you need to pick a Web 2.0 tool and just begin to experiment. These tools are really inexpensive, so there's no reason not to get started right away. I get asked all the time, you know, what's the most popular tool for podcasting or for blogging, et cetera. And I'm actually conducting some research in cooperation with Direct Impact Marketing and CXO Media to bring in the results of what is the most popular blog and podcast, because I think that is the gating factor. People don't know what is the right tool to go to, therefore adoption is low and it lags behind the market. Second piece, I think, is you need to learn from others who have mastered or are, you know, experimenting with these tools. And I maintain a blog just for this purpose, and if you read my blog, buzzmarketingfortechnology.com, and if you read it sequentially, you would see that I'm blogging about hard-won experiences with these tools, which is what's so wonderful about this medium. The second someone learns something new, they can post it to their blog, and the speed of knowledge transfer out on the blogosphere, it never ceases to amaze me. So I would say those two things would be my pieces of advice.
So can you share your download information or at least give us, the listeners, some sort of sense about what kind of downloads you do get?
From what? From an individual piece of thought leadership?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you my high watermark, which is 250 downloads in one day. And that was a piece of research that we did in cooperation with the Economist Intelligence Unit, part of the Economist magazine. And the response rate to that was outstanding. Obviously, we had a lot wired into that. We had, you know, pay-per-click. We had e-newsletter mentions. We had emails that went out from Bearing Point. So we just didn't post it and, you know, magically people came and started consuming it. No, we did a fair interactive push around it. But that is our high water mark for now.
Interesting. So your management, how did you sell this into management to actually make them feel like this was going to be a great thing?
Well, we just begun experimenting with some of these tools. I mean, I thought there would be the opportunity to pair a piece of thought leadership with a podcast and pair it with a piece of video and see how it would react. It was really just an experiment, a fairly inexpensive experiment, a couple $1,000s on top of an already existing, you know, piece of thought leadership, which costs, you know, let's say $5,000 to $6,000 to produce. So it's not that much of an incremental investment. And when we noticed the difference in the download rate, it was, you know, sort of staggering. Like, well, why don't we do this for all of our, you know, pieces of thought leadership? And I can't say that all of them need that kind of treatment, but certainly some strategic pieces certainly need that. And then the very, very strategic things that are research findings or, you know, a new product launch definitely need that. One piece of data that I think is very interesting that we've discovered is that we paired it with both a podcast and a video, a single piece of thought leadership, to see how it would respond. And what was interesting is that when you dig into the data, it was almost mutually exclusive, meaning that certain people gravitated towards podcasts, certain gravitated towards video. It's like they self-selected the type of medium that is most preferred for that particular individual. And the implications of this means that you need to provide a range of Web 2.0 tools to the user so that they can pick the medium that they're most comfortable with, right?
Very interesting. Well, thank you. I hope that, you know, we can speak again as you've gotten more into this as time progresses. So, Paul, thank you so much for being on Marketing Voices.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So I've been talking with Paul Denay. He's Director of Global Marketing for Bearing Point. And Bearing Point, again, is one of the world's largest management technology consulting firms. And to all my listeners, until next week, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.